Want to share this morning from Isaiah chapter 12. In all six verses this morning, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, let people see you this morning, Lord. This is your word, Lord, and let it not return void, Lord. And I pray you would give us need, give us what we have need of this morning, Lord. Have those things said that you want said, Lord, and those things accomplished that you want accomplished this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I got a call from the secretary, and she was wondering if I made an error in the title of my sermon. And perhaps as many of you looked this morning and looked at the bulletin and you saw what my title is, you're scratching your head and thought, I wonder if this guy can really spell. And what he's saying. But when I read those scriptures, those things jumped out at me this morning. And I thought, if the world can use letters to say something, so can I. If they can say the FBI and shorten it, right? For Federal Bureau of Investigation. If the IRS can say IRS instead of Internal Revenue Service, well, if we with our phones can look for something on the web, put www, which stands for World Wide Web, right? Well, I can do it too. God is my sea. Or my comfort. Isn't that what it says in Isaiah 6? The Lord is my strength, the S. The Lord is my song, the S. The Lord is my trust, the T. And the last S, the Lord is my salvation. Those are the things that I want to share this morning. He is our comfort. I don't know about you, but I know that many things that I hear on the news, many things that I read in the newspapers, many things that I see going on around me, many of the things that I hear. I remember different churches I pastored where people said, I remember when I was younger, things were not that way. I hear some of the younger generation even saying to me, this day and age, it wasn't that way when I was a child. It seems like things are just getting worse, and we get discouraged. We get upset. We get uncomfortable. We get frustrated, angry. Where God's crying out to us, I want to be your comfort this morning. Will you allow Him to comfort you? I want to begin this morning in Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, about the 35th verse, Jesus says to His disciples, let us get into the boat and pass on over to the other side. Right before that, He preaches a parable to them. And let me just share a little bit out of that this morning before I go into the other. But the parable is about the sower of the seed. And the seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God is where I find comfort and I find strength. The Bible says, and some fell amongst the wayside. It seems like some of the trials that some of us go through, that the Word falls by the wayside, that we let the devil steal it from us. We get so discouraged instead of taking the truth and standing on it. It seems like we forget the Scriptures that say we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Or some fell amongst the thorns. The Bible says that the thorns represent the things of this life that choke out the Word of God. And it seems like some of the things that's coming against us, it just chokes out the Word. It just chokes us and grasps us, that it bothers us to no end. Am I wrong? Or we get some report from a physician or something, and it just throws our whole world upside down, and we have no comfort instead of doing what the Word of God says. Or it says some fell amongst the rocks. And as long as everything's going good and we're happy, we forget that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Our joy does not depend upon our circumstances, does it? The joy of the Lord is my strength. I love to be amongst God's people. They're some of the best people in the world. You make me happy. By looking in many of your eyes or talking to you, some of the things that I see some of you go through, it encourages me that you're still standing and serving God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And then some fell amongst the good seed. We don't give up. We're going to keep serving God. Jesus says to His disciples, verse 35, let us pass on over unto the other side. Can I tell you, this world is not our home? Bible says we are pilgrims and strangers passing through this life. Abraham in Hebrews said he looked for a city whose builder and foundation is God. We're looking for that city. Didn't John say in Revelation, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old one was passed away, and all things become new. This world is passing away. The reason there's a new one, because it won't be defiled. There won't be no more sin, no more troubles, no more heartaches. You say, well, I don't believe there's a new heaven, new earth. We pray that thy kingdom come, don't we, in the Lord's Prayer? His kingdom come, a new heaven, a new earth. Let us, we're in this together. Let us pass on over. We're going to make it together. You are important to God this morning. And when they got in that boat, they took Jesus with them. Jesus is with us, isn't he? He's with us this morning. He's in this congregation this morning. Two or more gathered in his name. And they're on the boat, and they're headed to the other side. And Jesus is in the back. And while they're passing over the other side, there's a great storm that hits. I like that word, a great storm, and the wind's blowing. Some of the trials that some of us are going through this morning are great storms. Many times people don't know what you're going through, but God Almighty knows. Jesus was in the back of the boat. They said asleep. He knew what was happening. He knows what's happening. He sees it. He knows what's going on. He's there with you, even through the midst of that great storm, and the wind's blowing, and the waves are coming in the boat. And the disciples go to him and say to him, don't you care that we perish? Yes, he cares this morning. Sometimes it seems like when you pray, yeah, that your prayers just hit the ceiling. They don't go any further. Can I tell you, God records every one of them. Jesus is well aware of what you're going through. His desire is to comfort you. Will you allow him to comfort you this morning? He gets up and he rebukes the wind. And it's peaceful, isn't it? He's the only one that can give you that peace. He's the God, as we read this morning, if you remember at the beginning, he's the God of all comfort. You are important to him. Will you allow him to comfort you? You know, somebody say to me, well, Jesus isn't always there. He's on the right hand of God the Father making intercession for us. Go to Mark 6, about the 45th verse. Jesus just finished feeding the multitude, 5,000, maybe 15,000 people. 5,000 men, it says, right? And they grabbed 12 baskets. He said, let's get into the boat again. He says, you get in and go to the other side. He wasn't in the boat this time. He was on a mountain. He sits on the right hand of God the Father, watching over you. You're important. He sent us a comforter. You don't think he's watching over you? When Stephen was being stoned in Acts chapter 7, you know who stood up and watched and encouraged him? I believe Jesus stood up. He's watching over you. He sees what you're going through. He's on top of the mountain. You know what caught my attention? While he's watching his disciples, while he's watching you, the Bible says that the wind was contrary. And they were rowing and toiling for their lives. Contrary. Some of the things in your life are contrary to you. People are contrary to you. They shouldn't have said that. They shouldn't have done that. You with me? Contrary. And Jesus sees your struggle. He comes walking down the mountain. Comes walking down the water. Comes walking on the water. He almost passes them by. They think it's a ghost. He's there all the time. You going to ignore him? He's there for you. He gets into the boat with them. He says, don't be afraid. Trust me. Gets into the boat. and everything's calm. He's the only one that can comfort us, especially during some of the things that some of us are going through, some of the things we hear. In this day and age that we listen to, He's the God of all comfort. Will you allow Him to comfort you? Will you allow Him to make you lie down in the green pastures? Lead you beside the still waters? Will you allow Him that, yea, though you walk through that valley of the shadow of death, you have nothing to fear but His comfort? For He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Will you allow Him to comfort you this morning? He's the God of all comfort. And some of the things that we see, some of the things that we hear, some of the things that some of us are facing, He's the only one that can reach in there and just comfort you. You with me? He's the God of all comfort. The strength. He's my strength this morning. I'll probably get corrected on the way out by some, because I'm not a seamstress. But if I'm not mistaken, the only thing I know is that if I have a hem, H-E-M, it's right down here, right? On the bottom of my pants, right? There might be other places, I don't know, but that's all I'm aware of. Jesus and His disciples, about the Mark 5, there's a lady. Well, Jesus gets out of the boat. They've come from the other side of casting out the legion. Remember that story? They come to the other side and they get out of the boat. And there's a ruler of a synagogue by the name of Jairus that meets them. And he falls on his face before Jesus. And he says to him, my little daughter is in bad shape. She's going to die. Will you come and lay a hand on her? And I know she'll be okay. And Jesus said, I will. Jesus begins His walk to Jairus' house. And on the way there, there's all kinds of people just gathering around Him, wanting this, wanting that. Now, grasp hold of this. And you can correct me later if I'm wrong. But in Matthew, it talks about the hem. There's a lady. She's on all four. Bible says for 12 years, she has seen physician after physician and has wasted all of her money. Tried all kinds of treatment, but got worse. Never got better. And I can see her crawling and saying, if I can only touch the hem of His garment, I have hardly any strength left. Losing blood is important, isn't it? I have no strength. She touches the hem of His garment, and strength comes into her. And she rises up. I'll show that to you. And Jesus said, who touched me? And His disciples said, you know, kind of sarcastic, well, everybody's touched you. How would you know? Jesus said, virtue went out of me. And He looked around where the lady was. Bible said she stood right before Him and then fell down before Him. She's standing. She got strengthened, didn't she? And Jesus said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Will you allow Him to strengthen you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's the one that gives you the strength. Seems like the older we get, you lose more strength. But the more that I draw closer to Him, I get a little bit more strength. You with me? I can make it with Him. You know what else I notice? Is He's my song. According to Isaiah, He's my song. Have you ever heard the expression? We used to say it all the time. This is the pits. Have you ever heard that expression? Or is it just, is that an older expression? Something like I know? But you younger ones don't know that, right? Or we would call it the molly grubs, right? Anybody go through the molly grubs or the pits? It was passed on to me word of mouth, whether it's true or not, and it was told to me what the pits were. The pits were where you had a play being put on, and they had a stage, and they would put the orchestra down here, and you'd have your audience with the seats going up like that. And there was no concession stand. And people would bring their own fruits and different things to eat. And as they sat there eating their fruit, they'd take the pits and just throw them. And it always landed in the orchestra. I don't know if they wore helmets or that, but it always landed there. And that was called the pits. I don't know how true that is, but... Remember Mark chapter 1? Jesus has just got done at the synagogue. And Simon Peter invites Jesus over to his house. He invites his brother Andrew over to his house. And he invites James and John to his house. The five of them are on their way over to Peter's house. When they get there, Peter's mother-in-law lives with them. And I believe Peter comes and says to Jesus, "My mother-in-law is sick in bed with a fever." Jesus goes into the room, takes her by the hand, and lifts her up. And the fever left. And she got up and served him. Remember that story? What does that have to do with a song? In Psalms chapter 40, verse 2, what does the pits have to do with? Bible says, "He brought me up out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit." Have you ever been there in the horrible pits? Two of us, you and me. I don't know who that was. Was that my wife? Pardon? I have a hard time hearing anyways. But he brought me out, and he set my feet upon a rock. And that rock is Jesus, isn't it? Didn't Jesus say, isn't that it? He's my rock. And he put a song in my mouth. Have you ever been there that you're so down you need to be lifted up? I've been to places in my life I felt like nobody loves me, nobody cares, even in the ministry. And then all of a sudden I start singing a song. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. And you talk about the Molly Grubbs leaving? Yes, sirree, Bob. Now I'm singing Hot Dog Jesus. Singing will lift you. One of the churches I pastored, it was either Tennessee or Mississippi, preached about singing, and I had mentioned to them, and they were ones that watched Andy Griffith. You ever watch that program, Andy Griffith? Yeah, remember that? And remember the theme song? You go, I'm not that real good, but I started, and all of a sudden the whole congregation's whistling. Smiles on their face. Singing works. I love sitting in the balcony and listening when you all sing. You wouldn't believe how beautiful the sound is. It just encourages me. It lifts my spirits. Does that make sense? And then when the choir sings, ooh, I get them doodads going up and down my back. He puts a song. And my trust has got to be in Him. He's my comfort. He's my strength. He's my song. He's my trust. You know, no matter what He says in here, I believe it. Even though there's times I don't feel like doing it. What I mean by that is, there's not all the time that if you slap me on one cheek, I want to turn the other cheek. Frank, if your wife slapped you on one cheek, you feel like turning real quick? You know, it's not that simple sometimes. It's not simple to love your enemy. It's not simple to let things go. Do you like it when you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off and you say, oh, I forgive you? What do you feel like doing? See, I'm not the only one. Remember 2 Kings chapter 5? There's a man there. He's honorable. Bible says. And he's a great man. He's a captain. And God has blessed him, the Bible says, with great deliverances. He's a Syrian captain by the name of Naaman. But the Bible says there's a but. He's got leprosy. And one time, in a battle, he brought back a little girl to be a servant to his wife. And one day the little girl said, I wish my master or my lord was in Samaria because a prophet would recover him of his leprosy. King got word of that, of Syria, and he sent Naaman with over $400,000 worth of gold, silver, and change of clothing with a note to the king of Israel and said, recover him of his leprosy. And the king rent his clothes. He says, I'm not God. I can't do this. Elisha heard about it because the king rent his clothes. And he sent word to the king. He said, you send Naaman to my house. Naaman comes over there. And Elisha won't even answer the door. He sends his servant. And he said, if you want to be healed of your leprosy, he says, go to the Jordan River and dunk 7 times. Naaman gets angry. He's angry because the man of God never came out and talked to him. Then he gets a little more. You know when you let anger build? He gets even angry. He says, he should have come out and he should have touched me. He should have done this. And then he really gets his anger built up, that he's in a rage, it says. And he said, I could have gone to Damascus. And they got two clean rivers there, the Abana and Parfar. And he says, those are clean rivers. But the Jordan River? The Bible says he was in a rage. You know, you know how you get worked up. You get your anger worked up. And the servant said, would it hurt you to go down and do what he said? What's it going to hurt? He goes to the Jordan River, does what God tells him to do. 7 times. Are you going to trust God and trust his word? God heals him. My trust has got to be in him and in his word. If God says it, it's not always easy to forgive. It's not always easy to turn the other cheek. It's not always easy to do. It's easy to be a hearer, but a hearer and a doer of the word. Isn't that what it says? Not just a hearer, but a doer. You're going to trust God. And the last thing that I noticed is salvation. He's my salvation. There's no other name under heaven which men can call upon and be saved. John 3:16, most of us know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have everlasting life. It's for whosoever, isn't it? You know how popular John 3:16 is? If you're a sports fan, look at some of the games, some of the things you see hanging out on. It says John 3:16, doesn't it? Years ago, God laid it on my heart, the gospel. I took each one of those letters like I did the title of my sermon, G-O-S-P-E-L. God's O only S Son P provides E everlasting L life. There's no other name. If you're not right with God, today can be your day. You ask Jesus into your heart, into your life, that whosoever shall believe in his heart that God raised him from the dead, and believe that and ask Jesus in, he'll become your Lord and Savior. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for those things you had me share this morning, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that your word return not void, Lord. Give us what we have need of. As a sower of the seed, Lord, the word went out. And let it produce, Lord, like it did the good seed, where it came back even 100-fold, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.